The impacts of Hurricanes Idalia, Debbie, Helene, Milton, and the May 2024 North Florida tornadoes were felt immediately, but their effects are still felt in homes across Florida. If you're still dealing with damage, you're not alone, and help is here. Rebuild Florida is offering assistance to eligible homeowners. Visit apply.rebuildflorida.gov to see if you qualify and start your recovery today. Let's rebuild together.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast on an ever larger number of radio stations, 170, 175, 1,012 in the distance, and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein in the air chair today for Mr. Starnes as we host an Open Line Friday edition of the program. I'm coming to you from the Liberty University studio at my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. And since it is Open Line Friday, yes, we have guests, but the most important guest is you at 901-260-5926. No shortage of matters to discuss, and I'd love to hear from you at 901-260-5926. Dylan handling all matters at the home base at the Mighty 990 in Memphis. We'd love to have you as part of the conversation. Joining us at the bottom of this hour is the president of the National Right to Work Committee and the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. He is Mark Mix. This is going into the Labor Day holiday, and you're going to hear a lot of narrative stories about labor and workers and how important they are. Well, is that just the narrative as opposed to reality? Mark Mix has some great data on unions and workers and right to work, and you'll hear about it coming up in just about 30 minutes in our next hour. Joe Messina on the program, and I'm going to look forward to talk to him again. But again, your calls at 901-260-5926. So I've been exchanging texts with Mr. Starnes about a breaking news story that is floating out there. CBS News is reporting that one of the senators from my home state of Iowa is not going to run for re-election. Now, this is the second time in about a month that this story has been out there. Second time in, it looks like, 6 weeks. I have a sense that there's a little bit of pushing going on here. Now, the person we're talking about is two-term incumbent, U.S. Senator, combat veteran, Joni Ernst from Southwest Iowa, Red Oak, Iowa. She was aiming for a re-election bid. That's what she told us all last summer. That's what she has been saying. And then at one point here this summer, all of a sudden, there was rumors floating around from all sorts of unnamed sources that she was telling people she was not going to run again. The folks at Politico ran with this ill-sourced story in July. Now, by the way, I have no idea if the senator is going to run or not. Her annual event that is to raise money for veterans' causes is in October in Des Moines, and that to me was a logical time where you would make an announcement. But in July, Politico had a story called Joni Ernst is the next GOP senator on retirement watch. Now, this is the national narrative. This is why this is important, friends. You have the national, formerly mainstream media, the leftist narrative, trying to stir things up. Will this senator run? Will that member of the House of Representatives run? trying to suggest that there's dissension in the Republican ranks, trying to suggest that nobody wants to run on the record of Trump 2.0. That's what the subtext of all of this is. Now, I have also said on the air that I have some suspicions about the story being planted in July. And again, it could turn out to be true. My understanding, based on the social media posts, is that Senator Ernst is actually in Iraq right now as part of the August recess and traveling as a combat was in Politico 6 weeks ago. So, you know, if the senator is feeling something in her back, it's somebody's hand pushing her. That headline I read you about Retirement Watch, and then it said, the Iowan has had a tough few months, and Representative Ashley Hinson is waiting in the wings. Ashley Hinson is a three-term congresswoman from Northeast Iowa, former television anchor in this part of the world, and it's the district where I live, so she would be my congresswoman, just as Senator Ernst is my senator. And what was interesting about this story was not just that Senator Ernst was supposedly evaluating options, but they then, and again, all anonymous sources, but then it points out that there is a compelling candidate waiting in the wings. People granted anonymity talked about Congresswoman Hinson and all the money she had in her campaign treasury, etc. Now, if you've been around the block once or twice, you probably know that when a story has nothing but confidential sources, anonymous sources, your antenna ought to go up. You ought to be suspicious as all get out, because nobody's putting their name on it. And then when the story focuses on one possible successor, you just have to wonder. And I've said it before on the air, and nobody has, probably nobody was paying attention, but nobody has said, no, Jeff, you're all wet. But the bottom line is, when one possible successor is mentioned in an article with a lot of whispering going on about what might happen, sort of tells you that maybe the game's afoot. Now, the last time I had interaction with Iowa U.S. Senator Joni Ernst was 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, at an event that she hosted in Ames, which is the home of Iowa State University, her alma mater. This was for small business. She's chair of the Senate Small Business Committee. And I was there doing interviews with people like Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator, was there. Kelly Loeffler, the head of the Small Business Administration. The senator did not act like someone who was on her way out the door. But again, you're going to run to the finish line, right? Now, there had also been some rumors that there was an administration position, maybe a Pentagon position in her future, and so that's why she was being coy about reelection. Again, no one knows anything, and to some degree, I almost feel guilty about talking about these confidential source stories that much. But within the past hour, there are, quote, sources, I'm doing the air quotes, you can't see it, sources that Senator Ernst will return to Washington next week and announce that she will not seek re-election. Now, normally, I don't give this a lot of credence because, again, it's just sources. The story, however, is authored on CBS News by Jennifer Jacobs, who is a tremendous White House reporter. She was a tremendous political reporter in Iowa. And she is also proof that you can have me, a college professor in a reporting class, and overcome that terrible situation and still be successful. Ms. Jacobs is a good journalist, and she has good sources. But again, until you actually hear about it, I'm just standing back, all right? What would that do? Oh, and by the way, one other very key point. When Senator Ernst first ran for election a dozen years ago, she said she would only serve two terms. She made that pledge that she would only serve two terms. If she were to run again, in essence, you're breaking that pledge from the original campaign. However, you could say it's for a whole bunch of good reasons, like, have you seen what they've tried to do to Donald Trump, and we have to hold seats and we can't risk a reelection with a, that's an open seat, et cetera, et cetera. But there will be some who point to that pledge. So I guess we will just continue to watch and see. I saw you this past weekend talking about being excited to run in 2026. I'm not sure she actually said the words, I'm running for 2nd District Congress. She might have. I was not at the event. But again, everybody's plans change when somebody else's plans change. So that's the news that everyone is clutching their pearls about at the moment, is that if Senator Ernst did not run for re-election, she would be, let's see, Tom Tillis is not running for re-election. Tommy Tuberville is seeking another office, right? He's running for governor. Mitch McConnell is blessedly retiring to one of the horse farms in Kentucky. I doubt they'll put him out to stud, but that's enough of that analogy. And, of course, Tennessee's Marsha Blackburn is running for governor, but her seat is not up in 26. As we look at people whose seats are up in 26, it would appear that you could have four Republicans not seeking reelection if these stories from today are true, and we do not know. But that's what's gotten everybody abuzz right now. But I want to caution because, again, anything that is unsourced in terms of somebody putting their name by it, you have to really be skeptical about. And all of the talk about people not seeking reelection, you just also have to understand that there's a narrative at work. The narrative of nobody wants to support Trump. Nobody wants to run on the Trump record. I don't know. If I'm a Republican up in 26, I would much rather Trump be on the ballot. That's a much better coattail. But again, people have different reasons for why they might leave a seat. It might be to run for other office. It might be because they've just had enough of it, and age-wise, it's time to do something else, different job, whatever. So there you go. Those are the stories that has Washington all abuzz right now, which could either be confirmed or rebutted or a new story comes up by the time of the next hour. 901-260-5926. That's how we begin this always paying attention to breaking news edition of the Todd Starnes radio program from the Liberty University studio. Reminder, guests on this program appear. Yes, Mark Mix of the National Right to Work Committee, that is at the bottom of the hour. Until this story about Senator Ernst came out, everybody in Washington was just hyperventilating into paper bags about Kamala Harris losing her Secret Service protection. Well, as we will discuss, everybody just sit down. It's not a big deal. In fact, Mr. Trump is following the law as opposed to his predecessor. The auto pen on this issue. We'll talk about that as this day goes on. We'll take your calls in the next segment. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along in this Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, and it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketch is imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond, and suddenly all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/Starnes and become a premium Angel Guild member today.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starnes Show, Open Line Friday with Jeff Stein filling in for Mr. Starnes today. 901-260-5926. That's the number Joe used to call in from Ella J, Georgia, where he listens to the program on the great station there, WDUN. Joe, good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Jeff, doing great, and you're doing a great job filling in for the great Todd. And you know, Todd was interviewed President Trump this week, and of course, he's on Newsmax. So based on that, in my opinion, Todd Starnes is one of the great talk show hosts in history. He's kind to all the callers. Well, you are too. But Todd is really making a name for himself. I'm down here at Sea Island this week, and a lot of people listen to him down here at Sea Island. And so I just want to name him, in my opinion, one of the top talk show hosts in American history, Jeff. And I think you will agree with me.
I will, and I'll also apologize to everybody listening today that he's not here. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, but you're doing a great job filling in for it. And I'm crazy about Trump. I think Trump, in my judgment, is the best president in history. I'm a stock market guy, and the market keeps breaking all records. So I'm a very happy person with Todd and Donald Trump.
When you heard the interview, and you're right, the interview with Trump, holy cow, and then being at the White House, et cetera, I really thought, as I listened to it, and I re-aired a portion of it on my program in Iowa because folks here love to hear Todd and certainly love to hear the president, I'm just wondering, what struck you the most about their most recent conversation? I mean, it just really sounded like a couple of old friends at it.
Well, Todd has a great ability, as you know, to make everybody feel at home, whether it's me or you or anybody. And he had, with he and Trump, just sound like they'd known each other for years. Totally relaxed conversation, and I predict that. Of course, he visited in the. I predict that you'll see more of the Todd Starnes and Trump interviews in the years ahead, because I think Todd is really making a name for. I know he is, and I think he's going to get more and more popular. And I would not be surprised if he challenged Sean Hannity for number one spot in the very near future, because he's, like I say, I'm down here at Sea Island. A lot of people from all over the country are here, and they like Todd. And so I think the future for Todd Starnes is incredible, and I think he'll be number one in the years ahead. I really do.
Now, are you going to tell Hannity that the next time you call his show, Joe?
I don't know. I was on his show a couple of weeks ago, and now I don't think I'll tell him that. But they're both great. I mean, I'm sure Sean is familiar about Todd. But yeah, I think they're. I've been calling the Hannity show since '96. He's been mighty good to me. I think they're both great, and I think they're both great talk show hosts. But I just think Todd is coming on really strong. And, you know, what's wrong with having, I think both of them are great. What's wrong with having two great conservative talk show hosts to serve the American people?
Well, I got them both on my station. And people do have two ears, right, Joe? So they should be able to listen to more than one thing.
And you're very good, my friend. do you have aspirations of being national?
Hey, you know, being Todd Starnes' fill-in on occasion, I don't know how it gets any better than that.
Well, yeah, I tell you, that's great. Well, you do a great. You seem real relaxed, and you're certainly always nice to me, and I'm sure you, like Todd, are nice to everybody that calls in. So I think you do Todd, you know, you help Todd. In other words, you're an asset for Todd, not a liability. So I appreciate you, and you keep up the great work. But I'm fired up, man. I love Trump, and I love the economy, and I love the stock market, and I'm just a very happy person, and thanks for what you do. Keep up your great work.
You're very kind, Joe. Thank you so much for being loyal and supportive of so many talk hosts, and I appreciate it, and you have yourself an excellent weekend. Joe called in from Ella J, Georgia, well, Sea Island. He's a mobile guy. He gets out and about. Mark Mix of the National Right to Work Committee coming up after this bottom of the hour break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and this Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation, and we will take your calls in the next segment. But I'm pleased to welcome now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line the head of the National Right to Work Committee and the National Right to Work Legal Foundation. He is Mark Mix. Mr. Mix, thanks so much for taking the time, sir. How are you?
I am doing great, Jeff. It's good to talk with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
I wanted to have you on the national program here as we're going into Labor Day weekend, because this is typically a time that we hear a certain narrative, often based in history that dates back 100 years. But I just wonder if the impact of the, quote, labor movement is as strong today as it might have been a century ago. There are some numbers that I know you have handy on that topic, and it, I think it might be surprising to some folks in the office, in the audience. Please share.
Yeah, indeed, Jeff. I mean, from a political standpoint, organized labor still has a very potent punch, if you will, and that's because they have some privileges that give them kind of the advantage over lots of other people when it comes to playing politics. And first and foremost is their ability to compel workers to pay union dues or fees as a condition of getting or keeping a job. 24 states across the country allow union officials to negotiate contracts that say a worker must pay union dues in order to work. And that money ends up doing lots of things, including politics. And so while their numbers are down, they only represent about 5.9% of the private sector workforce, their political power is really about the same. Their membership numbers, about 14 million union members across the country. Interestingly enough, Jeff, about half of those are government employees, and they're not quite the same union of your grandfather, but they still pack a pretty good political punch, and they still raise money. About $30 billion a year in revenue that they use for various purposes, including politics.
In one respect, Mr. Mix, I think I'm putting this on a tee so you can hit it for a distance, but I may be wrong, but the private sector is moving away from labor unions. Government, however, is, we've got all sorts of unions to protect everybody in government. Why the difference? Why so much a higher percentage of unionized workers in the federal government as opposed to private industry?
Well, Jeff, I think probably the primary reason is the growing disconnect between union officials and the leadership of the largest unions in the country and the rank-and-file workers, and from a policy standpoint. And I think probably the most current case study is the 2024 elections. You know, Donald Trump articulated a policy agenda that made sense to a lot of Americans. And what we do know from exit polling, that a majority, in fact, a fairly significant majority of union households and union members voted for Donald Trump for president. On the other hand, union officials spent a really big chunk of money trying to elect Kamala Harris. In fact, the ratio, and this, I'm a government school graduate, Jeff, so my math is a little bit funky, but for every $1 that Donald Trump got from a labor union PAC, Kamala Harris got something like $270. And that's like a 99.6% ratio. And yet alone, in the private sector, those rank-and-file union members decided to cast their vote for someone that their union officials were supporting with their money, or against the candidate that the union officials were using money, their money, for political purposes. So that's a really big deal, and that shows, I think, a growing disconnect, particularly with the private sector, as you mentioned, Jeff, and the disconnect on public, on political policy and politics.
The good family-owned businesses that I know and interview representatives from in the Midwest, occasionally the issue of unionization comes up. And basically, for many of these manufacturers, it's a matter of saying, okay, what do you need? What is it that we're not addressing as the employer? Bottom line being, if you're a private employer and you care about your workforce, you care about your employees, and you treat them well, that's all that they want. They don't need the kind of compulsory due structure, if you will, that so many of these unions have. Is that part of it as well, that government is just kind of, you know, once again, it's the deep state perpetuating itself, as opposed to the private sector, where if you run a darn good business, you can just be allowed to run a darn good business?
Yeah, Jeff, I think there's a lot to that, and I think employers understand that very, very well. And to think the opposite is true, there may be some bad apples in that bowl, but generally employers know that they have to treat their employees well. Otherwise, their employees will go out and amplify their voice through unionization, which is something the federal law protects in every state in the country, whether they be right-to-work states or non-right-to-work states. And so, to your point, I think most business people understand that if they take care of their employees will take care of them. And I think a large majority of small businesses, private businesses, do take care of their employees very, very well. And the union labor model that goes back, to your point, 100 years to the 1930s, is one built on a kind of an adversarial relationship. You know, this idea that, you know, somehow if an employer wins something, then the employees lose. I think most people now understand that's not true, but union officials want to continue to foment that kind of environment, because they'll say you must have us so that we can balance the power. And in some cases, that may be true, but in many, to your point, Jeff, it's not. And that's why I think the union density is down to 5.9%. I think that's why when Gallup does polls, that generally people have a favorable opinion of labor unions. But when you ask the second question, say, are you interested in joining one? A very, very small percentage of Americans say, yeah, I'm really interested in joining a union. I mean, those numbers come out every summer. The unions tout them when they say, hey, 70% of Americans have a favorable opinion of unions, or somewhat favorable opinion of unions. But that second question never gets any publicity. And then the third question, about how many Americans support the idea that you should be forced to pay union dues to get or keep a job, that's even higher. Over 80% of Americans say that's wrong. So union officials are selling a product that's not very popular, and that product they're selling hasn't changed since the 1930s, when the federal government granted these really unique privileges, first to take away the associational rights of individuals who may not ever have voted for, wanted, or asked for a union, and then to add insult to injury, to force them to pay for taking away their right to speak to their employer in a unionized environment. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I think the secret for organized labor, as we're talking about it in the context of Labor Day, going back to the founder of the American labor movement, Samuel Gompers, in his final speech to the AFL delegates in El Paso, Texas, in 1924, he said, the workers of America adhere to voluntary institutions, and that, but by trying to force, you will destroy an organization. And I think some of that's coming true for organized labor, because they continue to rely on force and coercion.
Mark Mix is president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation and president of the National Right to Work Committee. You find the organization, the committee, online at nrtwc.org, and the Legal Defense Foundation is at nrtw.org. And Mark Mix joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. And again, to be very clear about this, your organization is not against unions or the choice of citizens at all. It is all about the choice of workers, correct?
Yeah, indeed. The idea that they can choose whether or not they want to financially support a labor union. It's, you know, while the other side would say that we're the worst thing, that a worker could ever experience, We believe that individual worker choice in the workplace is the primary predicate of what labor law should look like. And if that's anti-union, then I guess they can call us that. But giving the workers the ability to hold union officials accountable because their membership and their due structure is voluntary is a really important part of all of this.
With your work with the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, that is there for individuals, workers, who feel that whatever company in concert with the union, they're not following the rules. What are some of the examples of these people who contact the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation for assistance? And again, you operate on donations, and so if people like what they hear in this conversation, go to the websites and click the donate button if you're able. But what are some of the more common issues or grievances that are brought to your office's attention?
Yeah, Jeff. I mean, we get a kind of a series of different types of cases. Probably the most prominent right now over the last 4 or 5 years has been people trying to get out of labor unions. You know, when you certify a labor union, that means the union comes into your workplace. When you decertify a union, that means the workers are trying to get rid of the union. And a big chunk of our litigation now has been employees calling us and saying, hey, the union's not representing us. They're not using our money properly. They're not doing their job. We never see them. Is trying to decertify. And for the last 4 years under the Biden administration, getting just a simple secret ballot vote, allowing workers to have a vote on whether or not the union should continue to represent them has been very difficult. Other issues, one of the bigger ones is the idea of this forced political spending that comes from being forced to pay dues or fees to a union that plays politics in a major way. And major, you know, major unions play major politics. They spend a lot of money on politics every 2 years. We estimate, based on their own reports, about $2 billion on federal elections alone. But so people come to say, you know, hey, I don't support the ideological views of the union that I'm forced to pay. And so we won a Supreme Court case back in 1988, a case called Speck versus Communication Workers of America, that protected workers from this forced political conformity. But even to this day, Jeff, we get cases. In fact, we filed two cases this week on behalf of workers who called us and said, I want to try to get out of the political component, and the union won't let me out. So, unfortunately, that's a big chunk of litigation. Then we have intimidation and violence. We've had some cases where people call and say, hey, you know, the union's intimidating me. And those are kind of, I won't say run-of-the-mill, because those are very serious. But in any given 12-month period, we have about 260 active cases on behalf of employees helping them exercise their rights in the workplace.
Your organization is called the National Right to Work Committee. This is a unique part of American law that a lot of folks, I mean, if you're in a right to work state, you just take it for granted. I'm in a right to work state, but you have taught me not to take this for granted. Why?
Yeah, that's because oftentimes, you know, union officials aren't really interested in letting workers know what their rights are. And in states where, like Iowa and like Virginia, where I live, it's the legislature, depending on the political makeup of a legislature, is always trying to go after a right to work law. For example, in Michigan had a right to work law for 10 years. It proved to be not only protective of individual freedom and individual rights, but it helped to build that economy back after what they called the lost decade, the 10 years prior to passage of right to work. And so the moment that the Democrats took a one-seat majority in the state Senate and a one-seat majority in the state House and had Governor Gretchen Whitmer still in the executive office there in the governor's office, one of the first bills they introduced right after that last election when they took control of both chambers of the House was to repeal the right to work law, to force Michigan workers to pay union dues and fees again to keep their jobs. So the political environment changes, Jeff, as you know, whether it be in Iowa or any place over the other 49 states in the country. So we have to stay vigilant to protect right to work on the defensive side, and then we continue to press on the offensive side for the passage of new right to work laws in states. But the big deal would be trying to change the federal law where politicians try to repeal the authorization that allows states to pass right to work laws in the first place. There's a bill that, if passed in the United States Congress and signed by a president, which Biden promised to do, would repeal all 26 right to work laws in one fell swoop by federal decree, because the jurisdiction for forced unionism is imposed on the states by the federal government. And the only way to get out of that is for a state to pass a right to work law to protect their workers.
And so this is why control of Congress is so important, because the Democrats typically are lockstep on this issue as they have their hands out for union campaign cash. That's my assertion, not Mark Mix's. I don't want to impute anything. But sometimes it's hard to get the Republicans to stay in line. It's like herding cats, this issue and many others.
Yeah, indeed. This bill that I talked about that would repeal, among other things, repeal all the right-to-work laws has been sponsored, co-sponsored by every Democrat in the House and every Democrat in the Senate, save one. There is one senator from Virginia, which is a right-to-work state, that is, he's decided not to sign on the bill yet. But that's the partisan position there. And then, to your point, Jeff, there are some Republicans. There's two Republicans right now in the House, Chris Smith from New Jersey and Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania, who believe that all the right-to-work laws should be repealed as well. There was a third, but she is now the Secretary of Labor under Donald Trump. Lori Chavez de Remer, when she was in Congress, she was a one-term congresswoman from Oregon. She co-sponsored the bill. She recanted that position when she was in front of the Senate committee looking to be confirmed to be the Secretary of Labor. She said she doesn't agree that we should repeal right-to-work laws, and she believed that workers should be able to vote in secret whether or not they want to be in the union or get rid of the union, as opposed to accepting the card check provision that's in the PRO Act bill that all the Democrats sponsor, which is to say, basically, if I can get you to sign a piece of paper that says, you know, you're interested in a union or interested in a pay raise, that's tantamount to voting for a union. So lots going on there, but we have to stay constantly vigilant, Jeff, to your point. I mean, the individual, you know, freedom is like a one-generation thing. I'm quoting, paraphrasing, I think, President Reagan and other very, very intelligent people that you have to remain vigilant, and we do too at Right to Work.
NRTWC.org, National Right to Work Committee, and the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation is at NRTW.org. So once again, folks, as you hear all about this Labor Day weekend, keep in mind there's a historical context and there's what's going on today. And Mark Mix, president of these groups, just gave you a good lesson of what's going on in 2025 with regard to labor. Mr. Mix, thank you for taking the time. Have a safe holiday weekend. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the opportunity.
Mark Mix, and he joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation in the Liberty University studio on an open line Friday. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. By the way, Todd will be at the anchor desk for the Todd Starn Show on Newsmax 2. That's 5 Eastern, 4 Central. The rest of you do your own math. Todd with a fresh show on the Deuce, Newsmax 2, this afternoon at 5 Eastern. We'll take your calls in the next segment. Jeff Stein, as noted, filling in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on radio today. Todd will, of course, be on Newsmax 2 this afternoon at 5 Eastern. It's an open line Friday, and we'll take your calls during the segment just after the top of the hour at 901-260-5926. Not enough time to be fair to another caller in this segment, as Rush used to say, but I do have time to remind you that America is back. And therefore, it's time to stand with a bank that shares your values, Old Glory Bank. Now, they support hardworking Americans, small businesses, and your constitutional rights. So there's no cancel culture here, no woke nonsense, just a bank that believes in faith, freedom, and the flag. Can't do better than that. Join the movement today at oldglorybank.com/starns. That's oldglorybank.com/starns. And be part of something bigger. Trust the FDIC-insured bank that was created to protect your privacy, security, and liberty. Again, that's Old Glory Bank, oldglorybank.com/starns. Joe Messina joins us at the bottom of the next hour. Your calls between now and then. Top of the hour break now, though. Back in a few. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starn Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 2 of an Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on, 170, 600, a million radio stations, the number just keeps growing. And, of course, streaming live, among other places, at ToddStarns.com. Hello, fellow patriots, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Todd, we'll see you on the television. Newsmax 2, The Deuce, at 5 o'clock Eastern. My privilege to be in the air chair for the radio program today, and especially a lot of fun on an Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. It's 901-260-5926. Plenty of time for your calls this hour. And I always enjoy filling in, especially on Open Line Friday, because the radio program I do in Iowa is an interview program. I don't have the interaction with callers, and so this is a lot of fun for me. So pick up the phone. What is it Michael Reagan used to say? Sit back, smile, and dial. 901-260-5926. And again, I am coming to you from my home base, the 50,000-watt blowtorch of the Midwest, scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. That's News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, proud to be the home of the Todd Starn Show here in the state of Iowa. And they've just put this online. Todd is coming back to Iowa at the end of the month. So if you're anywhere near Waterloo, Iowa on September the 28th, you need to get tickets because Todd will be the keynote speaker at the Black Hawk County Republican Party Patriots Dinner. I will be the host and will be saying a few words as well, but the reason to come is because Todd Starnes will be there, signing books as well. So if you're anywhere within the vicinity, easy driving vicinity of Waterloo, Iowa, it's Sunday, September 28th, and it's a 5 to 8 p.m. thing, so we know that you have to go to work on Monday morning, most of you, and so we want to have plenty of time for you to get home and get a good night's sleep on those MyPillow sheets and the MyPillow products. So if you're interested, go to BlackHawkCountyGOP.org, BlackHawkCountyGOP.org, and get your tickets as Todd Starnes comes back to Iowa, and I'll be there as well. And he's all over the nation at all manner of things, so don't be surprised if you're getting a Slurpee at 7-Eleven. That guy at the counter next to you might well be Todd Starnes. Not just somebody who looks like him, might well be him. Better chance at Cracker Barrel. Well, there was a better chance at Cracker Barrel till they ruined it. I don't know what his view is on that. All right, so some topics in the news today. We started last hour with the latest leaked story. It could be true. but it's based on anonymous sources that Iowa U.S. Senator Republican Joni Ernst will not seek re-election next year. Everybody's making a big deal about it. Second story to this effect in 6 weeks. Is there something to it? Yeah, maybe. But supposedly she'll let us know next week. And it did not take long, because here I am in the state of Iowa, did not take long for me to get an email from a Democrat wanting money. Not a personal email. It's a I'm on a list. Heaven knows how, but I'm on a list. And so that did not take long for the Twitter machine to be active with a fundraising link. Same thing with direct emails, and you can donate all manner of money because they claim Iowa is now an open seat. There is nothing like a politician for opportunism. And by the way, we saw that in full force earlier this week with the tragic situation on Wednesday at the school in Minneapolis. I mean, politicians who just knock each other over. I mean, there's more elbowing to get to the microphone at a news conference between politicians than at your normal National Hockey League game. And all of them, of course, blaming the other side and then sending out a pitch for money. I got some of those, too. By Wednesday night, I was getting pitches for money because of dead children. I mean, it's just ridiculous what goes on in our country these days. This was a story that I was going to lead off with today, and then we had the news about Senator Ernst, or the planted story. This is the one that was having all of the liberals clutching their pearls, all of them grabbing for a fan. They were just breathing into paper bags with hyperventilation. To CNN's credit, boy, there's a sentence you don't hear often. To CNN's credit, here's the headline. Trump cancels Kamala Harris's Secret Service detail that was extended by undisclosed Biden order. They're trying to turn on Biden and Harris. In other words, so that the Democrats can regroup and take the country back from this tremendous threat that is MAGA and Donald Trump. Look how quickly CNN has just said, boy, that's yesterday's news. Biden, Harris, nope, they're bad. They're horrible. So that we can then look ahead and move on. Why else in the headline would they mention undisclosed Biden order? That's the kind of stuff that they would bury. That's the kind of stuff they buried prior to the last election, to be sure. But Joe and Cammie are no longer the cool kids, and so you're on the outs at the CNN party list. Well, everybody went nuts over the fact, everybody in the left, went nuts over the fact that President Trump sent a letter yesterday to Kamala Harris indicating that her Secret Service protection will end effective September 1st, Monday. What a terrible thing. What retribution. You beat her in the election. Why can't you just let it go? Why do you have to be so harsh about your enemies, etc., etc.? Not so much. Once again, let's not let the facts get in the way. Well, we'll let the facts get in the way because that's what we deal with on this program. Former presidents receive Secret Service protection for life. And that is at an increasing cost. I'll come back to that. The folks at the National Taxpayers Union Foundation had a report about how much this is costing the American taxpayer. In essence, we're funding their offices so that they can just simply go out and get speaking gigs. And then we're paying for the Secret Service protection for them to make more money. I don't have a problem necessarily with the Secret Service protection, but a lifetime of office staff and all manner of things, maybe given that these people have the opportunity to make their own scratch these days out of office in ways that they didn't 100 years ago, maybe we should update that. We'll come back to that. Former presidents receive Secret Service protection for life. Former vice presidents, according to federal law, get 6 months of protection. 6 months. That ended for Kamala Harris on July 21st. Well, then why did she still have protection? Ah, here we go. Otto Penn strikes again. Kamala Harris's Secret Service protection was extended beyond that allowed by federal law via a directive allegedly signed by, CNN says signed, you know better, signed by then-President Joe Biden shortly before office. This was not public at all. And that's how Mr. Trump gets involved. Sleepy Joe and or his auto pen signed an order extending Cammie's Secret Service protection. So Donald Trump has issued a directive rescinding that. Dated yesterday, went to the Secretary of Homeland Security. The Harris team, because apparently she has a team beyond Doug. Anyway, the quote is, the vice president is grateful to the United States Secret Service for their professionalism, dedication, and unwavering commitment to safety. Okay, that's good. That's a good, straightforward statement, and it's what you should say. I don't see anything that turns it around on Trump being vindictive. So good. At least she took the high, or her people. She couldn't have put that sentence together, but her people took the high ground, allowing other Democrats to, you know, tear into Trump for being mean and vindictive, etc. Now, here's something that is of some interest. Trump's ending of Harris's protection, Secret Service protection, comes as she is about to embark on a multi-city high-profile book tour around the release of her memoir entitled 107 Days. That's going to be released September 23rd. Another interesting thing by the folks at the Chicken Noodle News Network. Do you remember that? Are you old enough to remember that everybody criticized CNN in the early days of 1980 and said CNN stood for Chicken Noodle News? That'd be a compliment today. Anyway, they say, release of 107 Days, her new memoir on her short presidential campaign. My, we are not taking this well at CNN. They are doing everything they can to bury her from ever coming back for elective office. That's a new narrative. You lost. You lost to Trump. See ya. That's what the formerly mainstream media appears to be saying. CNN does point out that this book tour, I think 8 cities, will put her more in the public spotlight than she has been since leaving office, during which time she's attended only a few public events. Now, they're obviously insinuating that if she's doing public events, she's at greater risk. Perhaps, sure. I would, and so their implication is that Trump pulls the plug on this just when she might be at greater danger. Now, let's roll that back. Why should we be providing, at government expense, this enhanced security so she can go sell a book? If she's doing so well with this book, maybe she can afford her own security. By the way, that same federal law that allows the Secret Service protection, her husband, the former, what would that have been, second gentleman, Dougie? Doug lost his own personal detail on July 21st, 6 months after his wife left office. That's the standard provision for a former vice president's spouse as well. Typically, the vice president and their spouse have 6 months of wind-down Secret Service protection. There are folks who are saying, well, now this is terribly punitive. She was the first female, first black female, woman of color. I don't know what the makeup was. I mean, it depends on which story you read. That there were concerns about her security. Okay. Can you document that? Can you document that? Because as I recall, when Mr. Trump is a nominee, prior to the first of 2 assassination attempts on his life last year, they were saying, you know, we're getting threats and we need higher security. No, can't prove that there's a good rationale for it. When RFK Jr. was running for president as an independent after he'd been pushed out by the Democrats for daring to challenge Sleepy Joe, He was denied Secret Service protection, and he had binders with pages of threats. Nope, not enough of a threat. All right, apparently you can't prove it here because they've removed it. And then the cost, this is CNN, the cost of mounting protection privately would be expensive, possibly going into the millions of dollars annually. Oh, far better that we, the taxpayers, pay it. So she can go around the country and flog a book for which she was paid, wait for it, millions of dollars. So this headline of Trump cancels Harris's Secret Service detail, what a bad orange man thing to do. Or he was simply following the law that his predecessor, the auto pen, got around by extending it. Here, let me sign this for you. There you go. All good. Another example, my friends, of the deep state and its level of comfort being brought up short. Another example of how the gravy train for the deep state, once you're in office, you're just going to live off the taxpayer forever. Another example of that train not running on time anymore. They are pulling that car off the track. They are going to disable it and turn it into a museum of how things used to be in the old days. The deep state gravy train slowly but surely is coming to a halt. And this is another example. 901-260-5926. I certainly wish no ill upon the former vice president in any way. She can afford her own protection absent some credible threat. That's why the law said what it did. 901-260-5926. Join the conversation from the Liberty University studio in our next segment. Short break now. Back on the other side, Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and this Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today after the bottom of the hour. Joe Messina joins us, and there are a lot of things that I want to talk to him about and a lot of things I bet you want to hear about. 901-260-5926. Plenty of time for your calls between now and the end of the program. If you love this country and you're concerned about the direction we're headed, well, you can do something about it. There are all manner of steps we can take, but here's one thing that you can do that you'll get a benefit from, and that's if you join AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Now, this is the conservative alternative to the AARP. AMAC is standing up for the values that built this nation: faith, family, freedom, common sense. Short supply these days on that. AMAC members get some great benefits like deep discounts on travel, insurance, and prescription drugs, exclusive member resources, and a subscription to the AMAC magazine. Now, that's one of the best publications out there for patriotic Americans like you and me. Best part, you can join for as little as, this is not a typo, kids, you can join for as little as $1.20 a month if you buy a five-year membership. That's value right there. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns. And join the fight to keep America strong. That's AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. You really need to check them out. Every time I see something from AARP, I mean, it just gets worse and worse. AMAC is the alternative. That's something that you can do to help this great organization, but it benefits you in so many ways as well. AMAC.us/starns. I don't know if you heard it on the air. I heard it in my headphones here in the studio, so it means you might have heard there was a little ping or a noise or something. It was my cell phone, my email going off, with yet another Democrat running for the U.S. Senate in Iowa wanting money. The story that's out and about today is that U.S. Senator Joni Ernst may not run for re-election, and so I've now heard from two of the Democrat candidates who would like some of my hard-earned money. Those emails are both in the trash bin, as you might imagine. Not in the trash bin, but standing by and ready to give us some good insight is Joe Messina. We'll do it after this break. Bottom of the hour now. Come on back. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and this Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from the free state of Iowa. Good of you to stay with us. And I hope you join the Coast to Coast conversation at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. Dylan will take your call and connect you with me, and we'll see what you have to say as we go into this Labor Day weekend. Joe Messina is in the car on the way to a destination, and I'm not about to put him at risk, so he's agreed to join us just after the top of the hour. So stand tight, and in the meantime, joemessina.com if you'd like to learn more about our guest, who will join us just after the top of the hour. So among the things that really have been striking this week, to me anyway, in the news, the fact that things are getting done and things are getting accomplished in this country because of strong leadership. And I'm not necessarily talking about executive orders. I'm not necessarily talking about high-level meetings in the White House with foreign leaders. Yes, that's part of it, of course. I'm talking about the use of the Oval Office as a bully pulpit by the 47th President of the United States, Donald Trump. The power that he is wielding is tremendous because he is using the power responsibly. Now, some of it, you may say, well, this is silly. And I've heard people say, why is he posting on Truth Social about this topic or that topic? Shouldn't he be focused on more important things? Well, how quickly did Cracker Barrel get rid of the new logo and bring Uncle Herschel back after Trump said they should? That was probably the last straw because it was really mounting up for them. And obviously, changing the logo while you still are sabotaging the interior. You're making it different than it used to be. You make the food healthy. That's not why we go to the Cracker Barrel, people. All he had to do was make the statement, boom, that's the last straw, and things change. And then to his credit, he posts again saying, well done, that's a good move, congratulations, now go make a bunch of money. See, again, it's insidious with the things like Cracker Barrel or some of these others. They change the logo, and that's the public manifestation. But so many of you have complained about Cracker Barrel for how many months? I know I've heard Todd talk about, what are you putting health food on there? That's not why we go there. But it's things large and small that he can make a comment, and it changes perception. The concept that he is leading a movement that is to restore this country to its greatest time. Now, again, the Make America Great Again slogan was actually first used by Ronald Reagan. I've, you know, because of what I do and what I like, I've got a collection of presidential campaign buttons on the wall at home. Got like four big frames of them. All right. And so I have one that says, Reagan, let's make America great again. So the concept of restoring America to greatness, Reagan could do it, and did. Trump is doing it in his own style that fits the times. And it is driving the other side absolutely crazy because they don't understand it. Well, here to me is what's important about the concept and the slogan and why it works for Trump and it might not work for somebody else. And why the parody of Trump that Gavin Newsom is doing in California is just not only embarrassing for Governor Newsom, but just resounding thud across the land. When Trump says, "Make America Great Again," we immediately think of when it was greater than it is now. That doesn't mean going back to horrible times when people were mistreated. It just means it's a sense. It's a feeling that you have. It's that sense of winning. You know, athletic teams who get into losing streaks, there becomes the smell of defeat around them. And so what's one of the first things they do when a new coach comes in? Let's change up the uniforms. Let's change the logo. Let's do something different. Let us restore a winning attitude. With everything that the president does, it is with an eye toward making us all feel better and therefore do better as Americans. And after this last election, how many people do you see proudly wearing USA shirts, proudly wearing Trump shirts or caps? I noticed it right away in February of this year. The man had barely been in office a month, and I was doing broadcasts from a trade show. It was an agriculture farm trade show. And that's always a good patriotic bunch in the Midwest. But the number of people who just had a little more pep in their step, a little freer to be wearing hats and shirts and whatever, you just felt better. You felt better because the person at the podium is trying to make things better and have you aspire to be better, as opposed to your random Democrat who talks about how horrible things are. It's the end of the world. Everything is an existential threat to it. Shut up. You know, when Barack Obama was elected, he was talking about hope. Stole it off of the Hillary sign, but he wound up using hope. And I remember watching via the television box the inauguration speech. And you had all these folks gathered in Washington, and they were grinning and smiling and happy. And Obama started talking about the sacrifices we were going to need to make. And the crowd shots showed people's expressions go from big smile to small smile to neutral to, wait a minute, I thought things were going to be great. You were supposed to give us hope. You're telling us how horrible things are. That's what Democrats do, tell you how horrible things are, so that then they've set up the situation where they're the only ones who can fix it. And so when Obama in that inauguration speech talked about we're all going to have to make sacrifices, it's like, wait, what? And all of it was keyed toward perpetuating the deep state. Well, now you get Trump in there. I don't have to, you know, I'm going to pay for the ballroom. I'm going to pay for the Rose Garden. I got the money. I'm good. I got this. And he does it with a confidence that suggests that you too can be better. That's the whole point of Make America Great Again. It's not just America, because that's what you're inspired to do better. You're inspired to do better because he acts like he cares and, yes, can talk, but the aspiration is there. There is an American dream. You get Democrats saying there's no such thing as the American dream. Yeah, there is. Not for you folks. Not for the doom and gloomers. Not for those who only believe government is the answer. So Trump, through all of the things he does, and you see it on matters large and small, he's asked about the pop singer and the football player getting engaged. And what does he say after having said some Trumpian things on social media about the pop singer? It's like, no, I hear she's a great person. Congratulations. Good for them. Hope it works out for the crazy kids. You know, I mean, it's one of these things where to some degree, when you're the opponent, get out of the way because you're going to get torched. But he doesn't hold a grudge. It's like, oh, well, great. Congratulations, etc. I mean, it's hard for the Democrats to figure it out because they don't understand the source of it. The source of it is genuineness. That's why when you see, and apparently the Maryland governor now is picking up a page from the California governor's playbook of, oh yeah, we're going to out-Trump Trump on social media. We're going to mock him. We're going to pretend we're like him, and we're going to type in all capital letters. It's not funny. It's not carried off well. And when your party, or in some case the individuals, when you have a problem with people believing who you are or knowing who you are, then you try to do the mocking thing, that falls flat. I mean, who is Gavin Newsom besides another elitist, liberal, opportunistic politician? By mocking Trump like he's doing, all you're doing is proving the point that you are an elitist, opportunist politician. With Trump, he believes it. What do these liberals believe in besides power? That's one of the problems with all of these folks. You know, anything that Trump does is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Trump does it, it's wrong. Okay, what are you for? And if you say, well, you know, the Biden-Harris policy is all of that. Well, how'd that work out? Such a tragic thing in Minnesota, the shooting. And how ironic, I guess is the word, that the Democratic National Committee was meeting there. And Tampon Tim, the governor up there, gets up there and says that he's proud that Minnesota is a trans sanctuary. And they have all of these red flag laws and they have these gun laws and everything else. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you jump out there at the edge of the branch and it breaks off behind you. And it sure did here. I'm really struck by something else that came out yesterday afternoon. And it came out after this show was over, so I know it wasn't discussed. RFK Jr., like him or hate him, he's shaking things up. He's making our food healthier again. I kind of like that, to be sure. But he said, you know, maybe we need to ask some questions about what's in these medicines that we give to young people to change gender. Maybe we should just look at what impact the medicines have. Oh boy, did he get it for that, didn't he? How dare you do this? What, ask a question about the impact of a pharmaceutical? If we're to the point, friends, when the Secretary of Health and Human Services can't simply ask a question, that shows you how threatened they all are. And that takes me back to the original point of this segment. Here's Donald Trump. He's going from one issue to another. In essence, the happy warrior can be conversant on any topic, but what's at the fundamental foundation of it all? He believes it, he believes in you, and he believes in the greatness of America. He believes in what we were, which was the shining city on the hill, which was what everyone aspired to be. And instead of lowering ourselves to be just one of a global community where we get taken advantage of, no, let's make America the world's leader again. Let's make America number one again. Let's win consistently. And it's that attitude. And it's the concept that everything can be improved and you can have a better life. That's how he's governing. And that's why they can't figure it out, because they think about collecting little pieces and think about power and think about their own reelection. He's thinking about America. And that's why he drives them crazy. Because it's like speaking a foreign language. His language is productivity, results, aspiration, let's do things better. And theirs is, how do we score political points? It's an entirely different game. It's like bringing a softball to a football field. You may see what's going on, but you're not able to play. They can't play, and it drives them crazy. 901-260-5926, if you'd like to join the conversation from the Liberty University studio on this Open Line Friday. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being here on the Todd Starn Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Joe Messina joins us after the top of the hour. 901-260-5926 is the number to join this conversation. That's the number that Gloria used. Local call for her because she's listening on the mighty 990 KWAM in Memphis. Gloria, Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am great. What's on your mind on this Friday?
Good, good. Look, you say some people just don't understand, and I want to understand about the tariffs. If the consumers are going to have to pay for the cost of the tariffs, how is that going to benefit us?
Sure. There's a couple of answers there, and it's a great, great question. The first way, the tariffs benefit you and me as consumers if the businesses do not pass the tariffs on by increasing the price. Now, to this point, a lot of the big retailers have not passed the cost on to you. In other words, they're just kind of trimming their profit. Because if the tariffs are of limited duration, then they can absorb that. But here's the other way that it works for us. Because the tariffs come in, and you just saw a week ago, the Congressional Budget Office finally had to admit that the national debt will go down by $4 trillion over the next decade with the tariffs. And before it was like, well, we won't get any money out of this. Well, yeah, the government will, which means the debt goes down, which means they're not going to overtax us as much. But here's the other thing, Gloria, that and I pay attention to the percentages of these tariffs, just like you do, because it's easy to see. But there's another part of these negotiations that is a little harder to discern, and that is in some of these countries, our people, our businesses are blocked from accessing some of these foreign markets at any price. And so part of the negotiations, by putting these tariffs in place, that brings them to the negotiating table. The tariff then ultimately gets knocked down, but we then get American businesses to have access to these foreign markets. That's going to make the businesses more money, and so they can then absorb a little bit of a tariff on the other side. So it's not just the tariffs, it's access to these world markets, and if the companies can get there and make some money there with people who want to spend it, they're not going to charge you as much in Memphis. Does that make a little sense?
Yeah. Not really, but look, so he's putting the tariffs on all of our allies.
Yes.
So why he didn't tariff Russia? What is he fearful of Russia? Why does Russia not get the tariff?
Well, we're running up near the end of the hour, so I'll thank you for the call so I don't forget to do that. But we do have tariffs against Russia on various products. We have tariffs against China. I don't think that there's anything that Russia has on him. But again, you're talking about a longer game. And part of the idea of the tariffs is to get people to deal with us and freeze out people like China and Russia. And there's some evidence that that is working. It is a complicated issue, and I appreciate the thoughtful call, Gloria. One more hour left. Jeff in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to an Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Hour 3. Coast to coast on more than 150 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on radio today in the air chair at my home base, the Liberty University Studio at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd will be with you on the deuce, Newsmax 2, 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central. The rest of you do your own math. It's the Todd Starnes Show on Newsmax 2 this afternoon at 5. Open Line Friday, meaning we take your calls. 901-260-5926 is the number we always use. 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But I'm glad to go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line for a conversation with Joe Messina. He, of course, is a syndicated radio host, commentator, joemessina.com. You find him on the X Machine. I was going to say the Twitter X Machine, but we're not supposed to say Twitter anymore because that just shows that you're old, I guess.
Well,
Joe Messina, good. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I joined that old club a while back, so yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's doing great today. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good here at this TV without pictures. You and I met through this radio microphone when I filled in for Todd a few weeks ago. And so I started following you on the Twitter X machine. I'll call it whatever I bloody well please, at Joe Messina. And your show is on live, 6 to 9 Pacific time, because you're out there on the left coast. Which means in
God's coast, yes.
in God's country, my part of the world, it's 8 to 11, I guess. And you're getting me in trouble at home, and you don't even know it. Because here's why. All right, so I come home from work, we have dinner, I go do the dishes, I come back downstairs, I go into my office, and I'm just sitting there staring, you know, at this guy streaming his program on X, and my wife says, "What are you doing in there?" "Oh, nothing. Yeah, I'm just watching Joe Messina." So thanks. Thanks for that, Joe.
I have many people say they go to bed with me every night, so I'm happy about that.
Okay. For the record, I did not say that, but I appreciate that.
I know you didn't say that, but
okay, so you're out there in California, and God bless you, somebody has to be, but here's the story today that Trump is rescinding an auto pen order that extended Kamala Harris's Secret Service protection. She's only allowed by law for it for 6 months. They haven't stated any reason why it should be there for longer, but yet the left is collectively clutching its pearls because this is just another bad orange man vindictive act. Really? What do you think?
You understand? I know everybody's used the line, but you know he could save babies from a burning house, and they would explain that the reason he didn't allow give them more money to put in some kind of fire retardant program is why he had to do that thing. So it's all his fault. You know, there's going to be no win. But I think, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm on a school board, a very large district here in California, and the problem that we have constantly is we break the rules, we kind of let them go, and then before you know it, you've got these 50 rules that we've let go for so long, it's hard to pull them back in. How about we just stick to the law? Nobody's out there trying to kill. Did I miss something? Was I in a coma? Has somebody taken a shot at Harris and barely missed her? Did they find some guy in the woods around her house hiding behind trees with a rifle? I don't think so. I'm not so sure anybody, you know, it's not the left. It's not the right going after the left like this. It's the left going after the right. So I don't believe she needs that kind of security. Besides, I'm sure she can afford it. The DNC can afford to give her one or two security people if she so needs. And Nancy Pelosi can, you know, reach into her into her pile of cash and help out. But no, I think he's right to do it, and I think he needs to do this. He needs to bring everything back in order, start from scratch again.
Well, that to me is just another example of these folks who get into power because they crave power. They get into the deep state and they just figure that that's the gravy train. And it's time for the gravy train to come to the station and get off the main track because I saw something from and I read this to the audience earlier. The CNN reporting took a couple of backhanded shots at Joe and Kamala about all of this. But it's interesting, they then put in a little jab saying Trump is doing this just before she goes on the book tour, suggesting that there's a heightened security risk when she's on the book tour. I don't think anybody can document that, first of all. And second, should we really be paying extra so she can go around the country to flog this book about her 107 days of glory?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, they all have these expectations that we're supposed to care for them forever. And you're right. You know, as she goes from state to state to state, if she has a Secret Service team, they have to send the team out in front of her. They have to do all these security checks and other things. Yes, it's costing us money, and it really shouldn't. She's done her duty, good, bad, or indifferent. She's done her duty. She's being paid well for her duty. She gets a nice little pension. I'm sorry. We're done. You're done. And, you know, we don't want you. You saw that in the voting. We don't want you. But there are other, again, other people he needs to do the same thing with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's almost felt like this one just kind of came to his attention. And it's like, we did what? Well, no, we're not going to do this anymore because Dougie lost his 6 months. I mean, again, the law says that a vice president gets Secret Service protection for 6 months after they leave office. And the same for the vice president's spouse. So Doug Emhoff lost his July 21st. That's fine. The law allows that. But there was a previously unreported executive order that the auto pen signed that extended hers indefinitely. But I don't understand for what cause other than suspicion. And to make your point, Joe, you know, Trump had all manner of requests prior to the assassination attempts for more security. Nope, not good enough reasons. RFK wanted security. They denied him how many times? And I'm sorry, his last name is Kennedy, and he was running for president. Yeah. That was good enough for me. I mean, this just really, again, shows the entitlement, right?
You're making a great point, and especially with RFK Jr. I mean, his whole family, whether you like them or not, it shouldn't have anything to do with the fact I don't want him shot at. I don't want him assassinated. I do not want him to be in fear for his life. And, you know, of all the political families, his is one that is consistently targeted. So he should have got that. Matter of fact, he should even have asked for it. They should have given it to him. And, you know, they were giving Trump a hard time after his first presidency. They were trying to pass a bill. This shows you how much they hate the guy. Trying to pass a bill specifically to make sure he didn't get extended Secret Service. I got news for you. I think his security team much more efficient than the Secret Service. And no insult to you hardworking Secret Service agents, but you know, his own security team was able to keep him safe for years without having these kind of issues. But it is entitlement. You hit that. You hit a home run with that one. It's total entitlement on their part.
Joe Messina is our guest, joemessina.com. The show airs 6 to 9 weeknights Pacific time, Twitter X machine, radio stations, other things that they're just inventing as I'm speaking, and I'm an old guy and can't figure it out. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd Starnes today. Tragic stuff at the school in Minnesota earlier, and there's so many layers to this story. But I'm interested in your take. Go wherever you like, but as you just mentioned, you're a school board member. You hear about an attack at a school of any kind. That's just got to send chills.
It does for several reasons. One is, back in 2019, we actually had a shooting at one of our high schools in our district. But the difference was, the person who did the shooting wasn't necessarily looking to take the school down. There weren't hateful books or hateful posts or "I hate this guy," that. It had to do with a personal thing with one or two other people. But the positive side of that was when the FBI and Homeland Security came in to debrief us and give us an idea. They gave us 10 areas to look for, because what they said is, look, you can't, they only have to get it right once. We have to get it right every time. We can't miss at all. And here's the 10 things you look for in a student that are direct signs that he could be a shooter or could end up being a shooter. And I was amazed to hear some of those things. On the flip side of this, this young person, I guess it was a man, thought he was a woman, but was a man, he's been going through this for a long time. And he's shown signs of being a little odd, not queer, odd. And again, I talked to a mental health expert the other day on my show, and I said, right from the bat, when you're going through this transgender thing, you already got mental issues that you need help with. And they're accepted by the medical association everywhere. So right then and there, it's time to, for the school to go to him or somebody to grab him and say, hey, let's work with you. Let's help you out. And I know my our gun people are going to get crazy, but when you have somebody that off, I would take the guns away for a period of time.
What's really but what's interesting about that, Joe, is the fact that in Minnesota, which Tampon Tim earlier in the week at the DNC declared to be a trans sanctuary place, first of all, probably wishes, well, there's a whole list of things he wishes he could take back, including trying to load a shotgun, but that's a whole different thing. When you've got a situation where you've declared it to be a sanctuary, private schools in your state had previously asked for more security, and you denied it. You have red flag laws. I mean, again, you have restrictions. They didn't work. So maybe it's not just let's limit guns. I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe it's a more nuanced situation.
Well, I think, again, what I learned from our situation was you've got to get it out front. That community, that little community there, they knew this person. The mom was, a teacher or an administrator at the school. She retired a few years ago. She signed off on his issues, if you would. And, you know, at that point in time, again, he showed all kinds of behavior. And I think you read what I read, too, in his manifesto, where he was tired of being transgender, but he didn't know what to do about it. So that should send bells through that whole mental health world, saying, look, instead of affirming these kids, help them, right? It sounds good, like everything else. It sounds good at the moment, but then when it ends up happening, you go, oh, my God, what have I done to myself? And look at the parents and others and go, what have you done to me? And I think that's what happened here. I think he started going down that road of being frustrated and tired. And, you know, look at it. He hated God. He hated Christianity. He hated Donald Trump. I mean, just you saw the stuff he wrote.
Yeah.
This did not happen on Monday, people. He didn't wake up Monday morning and decide, okay, that's it, I've had it, I'm going to wipe this place out.
And again, to your point, excellent point, he posted all of this. I mean, it's all out there. And it's easy in hindsight to say, well, okay, sure, now we put it all together. But if you've got these laws and you claim to care about these people, and that's why you want to have this false thing called gender-affirming care. You know, unless your goal is simply for statistics to say how many people you, quote, converted, you know, it seems to me there ought to be a little more going on here. And so it really occurred to me when I heard RFK yesterday say, well, maybe we should look at the pharmaceuticals that we're giving these people. Oh, yeah. That didn't go over well, did it?
No, they got nuts. But, you know, of all people in the world, you know, Bill Maher showed you the increase in transgenderism at the beginning, you know, from the beginning of COVID till the end was up, what, 1,500%, something like that? Crazy. Pharmaceuticals, what are they called? God, I can't think of the name, what they call the drugs they give these kids. Since in the late 80s, the average prescription of the prescription across the country for these drugs was at about 140,000 max. Now we're up past 6.5 million. I mean, that's got to tell you something. And they need to be held. The doctors prescribing these and the pharmaceutical companies need to be held accountable for this stuff, because I don't buy for a minute that they're not connected.
Give me a final 60 seconds of the things that are bothering you most recently. What are some of the things that we are not broadly talking about that people at home ought to really think about this Labor Day weekend?
I think you need to, if you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, how can you get involved in education? How can you get involved in helping to stop the insanity of what's happening on our school campuses? Go to school board meetings. Talk to your kids. Find out what's going on, how you can get in there and get involved, because this is who it's hurting the most. So, you know, this has really been heavy on my heart for a couple of months now, going, okay, parents, you not understand, your kids are in front of these people 6 hours a day at the minimum, and you're not. You're spending less than 30 minutes a day with your children in most cases, talking to them anyway. So get involved and get engaged. Otherwise, you're going to see more of this happen.
So you're saying parents should be parents, Joe. What the hell's the matter with you?
I wasn't going to swear on your show, but yeah, parents should be parents. I agree.
JoeMessina.com. I'm sorry.
I said, from my perspective where I go, they don't want to be. They want to be their friends.
Oh, now you've opened a door, friend. Now you've opened a door. But you're exactly right. I mean, parents need to be parents, and you can be buddies with people your own age. JoeMessina.com, at Joe Messina on the socials, including Twitter X. Thanks so much for the excellent conversation, sir. Have a safe holiday weekend.
Hey, God bless. Have a great weekend.
Joe Messina joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, 901-260-5926. Join the Coast to Coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio, Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on radio today. Todd will be at the anchor desk for the Todd Starnes show on Newsmax 2, The Deuce, 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central today. Great conversation just a few moments ago with Joe Messina. He joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Patriot Mobile, of course, is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, supporting freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and a perfect partner for this radio program. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, so you get access to all three major networks, same coverage you've been accustomed to, but you're not paying with funds that then go through these companies to fund left-wing causes. You know what they do, right? You pay the bill to the big company, and then they go support the left. Now, how about we do something different? How about you switch to Patriot Mobile? Because they support organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, First Liberty. You get the idea. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. They'll help you find the best plan. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Free activation when you use that offer code Todd. It's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. That's Patriot Mobile. Bottom of the hour break. Your calls on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being here on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio. Last half hour of the week of the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today on radio. He'll be with you on Newsmax 2 later this afternoon. 901-260-5926. That's the number to call to join this coast-to-coast conversation on an open line Friday from the Liberty University Studio. We were speaking with Joe Messina in the last half hour, and he is a school board member, and so we were talking about school issues, especially in light of the tragic shooting in Minneapolis this week. And he made a comment about how everyone needs to be involved, whether you're a parent or a grandparent or not, but certainly parents and grandparents, what's going on in the schools? You need to know. You need to be a part of it. You need to understand that, as he quite accurately noted, your kid's in front of these people 6 hours a day or more. What are the kids hearing? What's being taught? And I'll tell you, that really hit home for me at one point. I taught college students, private and public, colleges and universities, for 25 years before coming back and doing radio. All right, so you know, I've practiced law, I have taught college students, and then I do this thing. And there was one day, and I don't know what triggered it, per se, but it was early on in a full-time teaching role. I had taught for about 7 years, a class at a time or a couple of classes at a time, but it wasn't the full-time thing. So I'm sitting there, and this was at a private college in Iowa with class sizes more like 30 at most. There might have been a lecture of 100 at times, but generally you were talking about 12 to 20 to 30 students. And at some point, I realized we were examining a topic, and a lot of the things I taught were media law. And so you would not expect the audience of students to have any grasp on that. And so I realized that what I told them from the front of the classroom was going to be the only thing they knew about a given topic, right? If you walk in with no knowledge base, you're given a reading assignment that I select as the professor, and then you hear me lecture. All you know about the topic is what I told you. And that's part of education, and you know that's what the teacher does, right? The teacher teaches so the student can learn. That, in theory, is just fine if the teacher is knowledgeable, first of all, and is neutral. And we have gotten away from that. We've gotten to where so many of our classrooms are indoctrination centers. And that's why we have a society now that does what it does. These young people, I mean, COVID turned them into people who just trust what they see on a screen. And then they finally get the human contact in the classroom, and they wind up with leftist professors who are there to try to convert everyone who comes in the door. But again, it was just that one day, for whatever reason, I just realized what I tell them is all they're going to know. And you want to talk about the pressure then. I mean, to me, I thought, wow, this is a huge responsibility I have. Not that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying you have to realize the awesome responsibility you have in the front of the room as an authority figure, as the person who's teaching. And if you're concerned about what that person in the front of the room is filling your kid's head with, you got to get involved. They're your kids. They're your grandkids. And not to fall into it takes a village, because I don't really care for that approach, but I'm paying taxes in a school district. I'm paying taxes in a school district, and I don't have kids. And that part, that's not the issue. The issue is I still have skin in the game. I still have incentive to pay attention to what's going on, because I'm paying taxes. And we're going to send these kids out into the world to hopefully be productive citizens. So it's something we all have to pay attention to. And never more so than now, as we have seen the protests on college campuses. Pro-Hamas? Are you kidding me? Where did that come from, we all say? Well, we know where it came from. And so now you need to do something about it. Take an active role. It's a new school year just started. No better time. 901-260-5926. If you'd like to join the conversation, your calls for the remainder of the program on this Open Line Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show with Jeff Stein filling in. I tell you, Mike Lindell, he just keeps going, and he keeps winning on appeal some of these cases and claims. And he's proven right time and time again. And yet, he's still being persecuted for it. There's a major retail chain that just canceled this massive order that they had. You almost wonder if it was a setup. Oh, yeah, we'll buy all of this, and now that you've made all of the pillows and sheets and things, oh, sorry, we're canceling the order. I can't prove that, but at the very least, we know that MyPillow has an overstock of the classic MyPillow. It's the thing I fell in love with. It's the thing, and nobody's paying me to say this. Let me tell you, though, my sleep habits changed immediately when my wife suggested, why don't you order one of those MyPillows you hear about on the radio? This has been years now, and they're just fantastic, as are all their products. So Mike Lindell and MyPillow have an overstock of the classic MyPillows. How about you help a brother out and help yourself out at the same time? Because for a limited time, MyPillow is offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Standard MyPillow for just $17.98. $17.98 for a standard MyPillow. If you upgrade to the queen size, it's only $22.98. King size, $24.98. You can get body pillows for $29.98. And the versatile multi-use pillows are just $9.98. And if you're somebody who travels a lot, I really don't go anywhere. I just don't at this point. Starnes, he's on a plane every day, I swear. If I didn't know better, I would think he commutes to work in a plane. He's in a plane so much. That's why these multi-use pillows are so great, because you can take them anywhere and use them in a variety of ways. Well, how do you take advantage of this situation to help Mike Lindell and MyPillow, but also help yourself? Well, go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code STARNS. Or you can call 800-839-8506 to get these amazing deals. Now, I'll repeat that in a moment. By the way, when your order totals $75 or more, you get $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. Now, my public school education says that's a pretty good deal. Your order totals $75 or more, you get $100 in free digital gifts. Premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to boot. So don't wait. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506, 800-839-8506. But you've got to use promo code STARNS and get your standard MyPillow for only $17.98. Now, this is only good while supplies last. They won't last forever, so get on it. MyPillow.com, 800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. So I was looking at the Twitter X machine, as I call it, and there was a post here that got my attention. When Todd was in Washington this week, he did the show from the White House on Monday, from Newsmax on Tuesday, and then anchored the tragic breaking news coverage on Wednesday for you. But I believe one of his guests on Tuesday was the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia, the Honorable Winsome Earl Sears. She's running for governor, of course. And she's been on my radio program here in Iowa before. It's such a compelling story. And yet somebody carried a campaign sign or a sign to one of her rallies that could not possibly have been more racist, suggesting if a trans person could not use her bathroom, then she, as a person of color, cannot use that white person's drinking fountain. Held that sign up for all the TV cameras to see in Virginia. How's that feel, right? Well, here's the interesting hook to that story. I don't know if you've heard of Robert L. Johnson. Mr. Johnson is the founder of BET. That originally stood for Black Entertainment Television. I don't know if they use that at all now, but that's the acronym is BET. Now, he has supported Democrat candidates and causes. I don't think he's declared political affiliation before. Robert Johnson, the co-founder of Black Entertainment Television, has donated $500,000, $500,000, to GOP Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears' campaign for governor after she was targeted by a racist sign at a recent campaign rally. That's a report from Politico. We have all been waiting for the tipping point. How far can the craziness get on one political side, one side of the political spectrum, before folks said, okay, I'm done with you people? This is sort of a sign of that, isn't it? Here's an African-American who has worked to develop businesses for people in that community. He founded Black Entertainment Television, and he has supported Democrats. But when Winsome Earl Sears was targeted with a racist campaign sign from folks on the left, he gave her $500,000 to help get her elected as the first female, the first black woman to be elected governor in America. I saw something else earlier this week, and again, I paid attention to it because I heard Todd's excellent interview with her on this program earlier in the week. Do you see a lot of the formerly mainstream media putting her on the cover of their magazine saying she's the future of American politics? No, you don't. But remember when Stacey Abrams ran for governor of Georgia and failed? Let's point that out. Failed in a fair election? She was on the cover of all of these magazines, all of these cool kid magazines. Ah, this is the future. This is the future of American politics, a black woman governor. Now we're getting somewhere. Now that's progress. Why was it progress when it was Stacey Abrams? Who, you don't have to look too far to see some little financial mismanagement with her little nonprofits and who's getting their palm greased. Why was it that she was the future and Winsome Earl Sears, with her record of service to this country, why is she not? What's different? I don't think it takes much to figure it out. But that's why we have to call it out at every turn. 901-260-5926. Time for your calls on the other side of this break from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on an Open Line Friday on the Todd Starn Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Coming to the finish line of a Friday edition of the Todd Starn Show, Open Line Friday, from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today here on radio. Mr. Starnes will be with you on the Deuce, Newsmax 2, for the Todd Starn Show, 5 Eastern, 4 Central. And You can see it online and got the fancy smart TV. I just hooked up a smart TV at home, and it's like, well, there you go. I can watch Todd Starnes anytime right there in my big old TV. Of course, I put the TV in the workout room, and I never go in there, you know. Exercise equipment? Nope. That's just something you use to hang your sweater on or something. This has been a week full of important news, and this radio program has been right at the thick of it. Todd at the White House, the conversation with the president, interviews from Washington at Newsmax, the tragic situation for Minneapolis. It's been a heavy week as we go into this holiday weekend. So I want to close with something that is a little lighter, a little better for a Friday holiday weekend mode. How'd you like to be some little punk kid, 20-year-old, and you think you're going to score big by breaking into people's cars in their driveway? You just go house to house, car to car, you know, just either open an unlocked door and steal stuff or pop a window and steal stuff. How would you like to be that punk and find Batman is there to stop you? This is what apparently happened in Florida this week. I'm looking, it's been reported elsewhere, but I'm looking at the report from ABC News. A man in Florida proved that not all heroes wear capes after he thwarted a burglary and detained a suspect while wearing Batman pajamas. This is Cape Coral, Florida. Police said in a statement, quoting, "Thanks to a quick-thinking neighbor in his Batman pajamas, another burglary suspect was put behind bars." Okay, so about 2 o'clock Wednesday early morning. All right, middle of the night, Tuesday night into Wednesday. Police responded to a burglary in progress at a home, but when they arrived, the suspect was already detained by a man named Kyle Myvett. Mr. Myvett was his house. He was dressed in a Batman onesie. I am looking at the photo with police. And Mr. Myvett, American hero, in his Batman onesie. He does not look to be 12. He looks to be a grown adult man. And apparently he told detectives he'd gone to bed, and that's what he was wearing, his Batman onesie. With, again, it looks like he's wearing a utility belt. It's stitched in there, and then he's got the Batman logo. He'd gone to bed when his home security cameras alerted him that someone was breaking into his vehicle. So he's got his Batman PJs on, goes outside, and saw this punk kid rummaging through his truck, and then saw the same guy in his neighbor's garage. So he grabs him and says, "I've done this a few times." In other words, "I'm Batman," to use the phrase from the movies. And he hauls this punk down until the police get there. Police say the punk, as I'm calling him, I'm not going to use his name. People might be related to him, and it's not their fault, probably. The punk is known to law enforcement from prior investigations, and his first court appearance is in September. So I don't know if our Batman onesie is going to make a comeback. I don't know if Superman pajamas are all the go these days. I know I do not have them. I am also not asking for them for Christmas or anything else. Thank you very much. But there you go. Be careful. God, it sounds like something from an episode of The Big Bang Theory. They were all at a costume party and they came upon people trying to jack a car. And they were all dressed in superhero costumes. And in true fashion, they said, "No, we're just going to let that go." Not this guy in his Batman onesie. He was right there. There is an image to take you through this holiday weekend until Todd is back with you on Tuesday after the Labor Day. It is always a great privilege for a kid from a small town in Iowa to talk to America. Dylan, thank you so much for all of your assistance. He was pushing the buttons. He was producing the show, call screening. Should get 3 people's pay for the day, I think. Thank you all for being there. Have a safe holiday weekend. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This has been the Todd Starnes Show.
You've worked hard. You've saved over $500,000, and now you're wondering, how do I make this last?
The new One Big Beautiful Bill might look like a win. $6,000 tax bonus, higher deduction, even changes in earned income rules, but also full of complexities.
We are Steve and Elizabeth Holland, retirement planners in Tampa Bay for over 30 years. We specialize in turning new legislation into real, workable retirement strategies.
You're not on Medicaid, but you're worried about healthcare costs, tax reducing your hard-earned life savings.
We'll help you map it all out, from Roth conversions to estate planning, so your money works smarter for you and your family.
Visit AskTheHollands.com or call us on 727-228-6539 to schedule a discovery call and gain confidence in your retirement plan.
The Holland Group, Retirement Wealth Advisors. Clarity when you need it most.